When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
In all likelihood, we will pass it out of committee, send it directly there with a legal brief pointing out the reasons why we think he is in contempt. There is a legal question whether or not if you have a pardon, you can still plead the fifth. And that is the question the Department of Justice will have to determine and whether or not to file contempt. A million Americans died. 15 million people may have died worldwide. This is not an obsession with him. It's an obsession what caused this.
So, you know, that's Rand Paul in the aftermath of the hearing with Dr. Fauci yesterday, where he took the fifth, I think it was 111 times.
The crimes that we are aware of are lying to Congress, destroying public records. Those are the two main categories that we looked at yesterday.
We've got Charles Lipson back with us, professor emeritus at the University of Chicago. He writes for free at charleslipson.com. Good afternoon, Charles. How are you?
I would like to answer, but on advice of counsel.
Yeah, you might as well take the fifth, right? That would be consistent. What color tie do you have on today, Charles? That was one of the questions from our Senator Hawley. He wouldn't do that one either, you know.
Let me explain why he didn't do that one and where I think he's fallen into a trap, which is not quite the same as the one that Senator Rand Paul said. He didn't answer that because the courts have ruled that when you answer one question, you've opened
right.
the door and you have to start answering the others. You can't answer selectively.
Right, right. Senator Hawley probably knew that, too, because he is a lawyer.
Right. Why it was performative and theatrical. But the bigger problem, I think, in pleading the fifth, and the reason he pleaded the fifth was because even if he was pardoned for something, if he says something that is arguably not true, then he could be potentially prosecuted for that. Here's the problem. What I said earlier about starting to testify to things you want and then not to others, the courts have ruled that an opening statement is testimony. And he made an opening statement. All he had to do was make that opening statement before he came in, but he didn't. He made it before the committee. And I think the courts have ruled in the past, and I think will rule this time, at least if they don't get, you know, Judge Boasberg, that he doesn't have the right to plead the fifth. Of course, pleading the fifth this many times, it's just it damages his reputation. But what really damages his reputation is the contrast between what he was saying privately, which we now know from his diaries, and what he was saying publicly. And those two just don't match.
Charles, it's unbelievable. I've spent much of the last 24 hours. I'm not saying I'm obsessed with this, but I've seen a lot of the social media reactions. And unfortunately, I still pop around on Facebook. And I use Facebook mainly to put up pictures of my bunny and my kitten and, you know, my wife and my daughter and stuff like that. I don't do politics on Facebook. Mm-hmm. I learned that a long time ago. Every once in a while, though, I can't help myself. And, you know, the last 24 hours has been an example. Because why this is a left versus right issue makes no sense at all to me. But the people on the left, and these were the we love masks, you know, mask up people, I guess. They wanted the schools closed. I have no idea. But they've clearly not taken any time to read the diaries and compare and contrast, to your point, the different things that are in there compared to what he actually said in public. I mean, just the social distancing thing alone, pulling that out of thin air. But there's a guy who, I don't even know this guy, but apparently we're friends on Facebook, and he's trying to share recommendations for books, and he supports Dr. Fauci, and he says, I wanted this out there. He actually asked AI, what are the top 2-3 most credible books detailing the events? Well, I'll tell you what one of them is. It's David Zweig's book that I just featured in the last hour. But one of the things that he says is that if you read these books, you're going to come away with a much better perspective on why scientists and the experts in public health are needed. I would actually go in the opposite direction, because we learned very effectively, and we're learning even more this week, that those experts are not to be trusted.
Well, I would draw one distinction here, and that's a distinction between honest mistakes and mistakes that are CYA.
Right.
Okay. And I think there was a lot of CYA, a lot of power overreaching. And I've got to tell you, I'm looking at one of my Facebook posts here, which is the post itself shows a picture of Missouri Senator Hawley. Mm-hmm. Interrogating Fauci, and I say this is brutal. Hawley brings receipts and leaves Fauci bleeding and mortally wounded on the battlefield he never expected to visit. And then the first 3, 4, 5 comments are from people who say, you know, Fauci should receive sainthood. And everything was just performative and so forth. And then the next one says Fauci is guilty of millions of counts of manslaughter. So, I mean, it's like all of American politics congealed in one salad.
I think, and I've said this multiple times, I think you have to allow for leeway in March and April in particular. A lot of unknowns, right? A lot of unknowns.
Right.
But as David pointed out in the last hour, and this was something that I was very emphatic about in the summer of 2020, because I knew my daughter was starting kindergarten, this was not affecting kids, young people. I mean, when you really crack into the numbers, it was mainly deadly to people over 70, even between the ages of 60 and 65. I think 60, it started ramping up. But clearly, when you were over 70 and then into the 80s, that's where the numbers were focused. Now, on younger people, and I remember this, not to be mean, but when they showed someone that was 35 or 46 or somebody who was younger, and by the way, the media always tilted it in that direction, they were always people that were overweight and had comorbidities. Now, I'm not saying that they deserve to die, but there were factors here that played into different people's health situations that should not have been applied to 5-year-olds and 6-year-olds and 10-year-olds and all these other people.
I completely agree.
Yeah,
they also the public health officials. If you tested positive for COVID and you died, let's say, of stage 4 cancer, they called it a COVID death.
Right.
I used to say to friends, for many years, a professor at the University of Chicago, and we claimed, you know, a billion Nobel prizes in the real fields, I should say. But I once joked that we counted as one of our Nobel Prizes anybody who passed through O'Hare Airport. And they sort of did that with COVID. There was a lot of over. You were talking about kindergarten. I want to tell you a story before we move on to the latest disasters.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Iran. We'll talk about Iran here in a second. Yeah.
Okay. But I want to tell you a story that I just heard today. I saw it online, actually. And it was a person in her 30s talking about her beloved first grade teacher.
Okay.
And everybody loved her. And at the end of the year, she said, "Everybody who would like to stay back with me for another year, raise your hand." And everybody raised their hand. And she picked out one kid. And this woman said, "I didn't realize until recently that that was her way of holding him back for a year."
That's interesting, right?
Is that brilliant?
Yeah.
To make it feel like he was special. He got picked out. I'm telling you, if your daughter has great teachers, she is fortunate. And for me, as somebody who taught at the college level for many years and maybe doing some more teaching in the future, it's just so touching to see somebody remembering really great teaching that many years
and
later.
That is awesome. That really is. And my daughter, you know, we've been afforded very, very good teachers. We're in a very good school district. I just wish that, you know, and this all came bubbling under the surface for me a few months ago when she had her, they don't really do a graduation ceremony, but she's going from fifth grade to middle school. So they did like this little ceremony and they showed all these pictures when these kids were masked up. And, you know, again, my daughter's doing fine, but education experts, even her teachers, will tell you that they see evidence of these kids being behind. So, you know, for people who love Dr. Fauci, they love his celebrity, they think he did nothing wrong, that he's a hero. How can you not at the very least look at some of the aspects of this virus where we completely mismanaged and did things that we shouldn't have done? Because in my opinion, it doesn't matter. It shouldn't matter which side of the aisle you're on, whether you want to demonize Dr. Fauci or not. There were a lot of mistakes that we made that we should learn from. I mean, there is really nothing that makes me more angry that's happened in this country in the last 20 years than what happened with COVID.
Absolutely. There were mistakes and there was deceit.
A lot of deceit.
And there was suppression of alternative views. The deceit and suppression of alternative views, including people losing their jobs and all sorts of things, doctors, for simply voicing what we now know were actually correct views. But the point is, one of the values of free speech, and I'm a big free speech advocate, is that you hear different views and people can make up their own mind. We also know that states like Florida, which basically remained open, have suffered far fewer of these setbacks.
Right. And so Missouri's in the same boat because we didn't keep things closed as much. Charles Lipson here, Professor Emeritus at the University of Chicago. Right, let me shift here into some foreign policy and geopolitics, because it almost seems, because of the Fauci diaries, because of some of the other things that have happened with things domestically. I'm going to talk here in a couple of minutes about these young girls that were accosted at the Seattle Storm game. But it almost seems like nobody's talking about the war with Iran. Now, we had an attack that was, I guess, inappropriate on the part of the Iranians. I think I said Iraq. And we responded to that. But Charles, what in the world is going on? I have no idea how to even assess the current situation in Iran with this war.
Well, there were several weeks of bombing. We had two.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter x.com/AI.
On Reddit, true crime doesn't come from journalists. It comes from the victims, the witnesses, and sometimes the suspects themselves.
Every Tuesday on Crimes of Reddit, we read these posts out loud.
I'm Sabrina Dianaroga.
And I'm Alexis Linkletter. One of us brings the story, the other goes in blind, reacting in real time, just like you.
New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Crimes of Reddit, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
More weeks to go. Trump thought he could get a deal. They paused, but instead of pausing for a short period, the Iranians wanted to drag it out, and the administration allowed them to do so. When that sort of cold peace was broken when the Iranians fired on U.S. bases. Now, we took down the missiles, but they also have activated a parallel group, the Houthis, in Yemen to try to block the Red Sea, which goes through the Suez Canal. And they recently, Iran fired on Egypt. So they're trying to spread the war. Here's what I think Trump's big decision. Trump can't pull out. And I think it's the public. What the public sees is high gas prices at a time of great uncertainty because of AI and a lot of other changes in the economy and likely rises of interest rates in the near future. And there's been inflation. So I think what Iran would like to do is drag it out. And any time they can spike fuel prices, they will do so up to the election, hoping to take the Republicans out of power and hamstring Trump going forward. Trump has to understand that, and I think that that will ultimately mean he can't just let them drag it out, and he can't let them get into another five-month negotiation, because what they broke was the only clear part of the memorandum of understanding, which was that they would allow the straits to be open. They didn't do it. They started firing on ships that were going through.
Why would anyone, myself included, be hopeful that any of this is going to settle down or be, you know, reaching more of a conclusion or, you know, finishing the job by the first week in November? Because we're almost at August here, okay? I don't see how this is going to clear up here in a couple of months.
I think that you're probably betting on the right side. That is, imagine what Trump has been very, very reluctant, understandably so, and so have the Republicans in Congress, to say anything about regime change. And the reason they've been reluctant is experience. In most cases, it was easy to take out the old regime, but hard to stand up an effective new one in its place. In the case of Iran, it's hard to take out the old one, and it will be hard to stand up anything in its place because they've decentralized all the decision making. There are a lot of people at the provincial level across Iran that can that have arms and can fire. So I think what you're likely to see, though, is Trump ramping up the bombing, and there is a war in the north with the Kurds coming in, and the pressure, financial pressure on Iran is very great. I should add that China, which is aiding Iran, is making a grave mistake because as long as this war continues, China won't be able to get any oil.
Yeah, that's kind of fascinating. I'd love to know where that's going to head. Charles Lipson here. One final question. This is important. We had an intense debate earlier in the show. Charles, I'm going to drag you into this debate. My colleague Sue is going to do traffic here in a couple of moments. My friend Sue Thomas, she's having the show over. If you were in town, we'd love to have you, Charles. But the topic is whether or not, now you live in Chicago, so you know the ketchup on a hot dog debate. I lose that battle. I do put ketchup on a hot dog. Do you allow for ketchup on a bratwurst, Charles Lipson? Yes or no?
No.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
I do not allow ketchup on darn near anything.
Charles, I'm getting smoked on this. I feel like my position is correct, and there's nobody agreeing with me. Not even you. You've let me down this afternoon.
I am so sorry. You should also listen to Norm MacDonald's discussion of ordering a German bratwurst.
Oh, I love Norm MacDonald. He was awesome. I'm going to look that up.
A Polish sausage. Polish sausage. That's what it was.
I will Google that right now, Lipson. Thank you so much. We'll talk soon. We'll see you, Charles. Well, 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 look at this. The legacy media has been forced to get into the Sophie Cunningham Seattle Storm debate because the co-owner of that team, Celeste Keaton, who is a despicable human being, has been suspended for 5 games and fined by the WNBA. Now, it's interesting the way The Athletic, the New York Times, you know, sports publication, writes about this, because this guy, Mark Paleo, who writes about it, says that Celeste Keaton was suspended and fined by the WNBA after an exchange with two teenage girls wearing shirts depicting XX and XY chromosomes. No, they were wearing XXXY athletic shirts from Jensei's company, and they say, it's so funny, who said Keaton approached them. No, we know that this happened. Cursed and called them insane. Now, they didn't call them insane. She called them effing insane, and she used the word against the Indiana Fever the other night when Caitlin Clark and Sophie Cunningham was there. So this is blown up because she's now been suspended and the Storm forced to apologize, you know, appropriately. Now, yesterday I played you some of this. This was the young girls talking about this.
Well, we were just sitting there with our signs that said, like, we love Sophie. Like, thank you, Sophie, for speaking up. And so we were holding on, just watching the game. Again, like, we were being super great. We hadn't said anything to anyone else. We were being super respectful. We were just holding our signs and cheering for both teams. Mm-hmm. And this lady, older lady, comes up to us. And she comes up to us. And at first I think she's going to be nice. And then she asks, like, what are you guys doing? Something like
yeah.
that. And then it was like, Jesus loves everyone. That's what she told us. And I was like, yeah. Oh, I know. Like, I'm religious. Like, I know. Like,
I know. Nice.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, I hope Jesus can forgive you for what sin you've done. And like, something like that. And
what
then
a joke.
That we were effing insane. And that
and yeah, like, so then hear what they say there. Now, this is the owner of the team that's doing this.
And she went like this.
Yeah.
She's like, you better stop this.
And stop pulling Yeah.
And
for you guys
I
to
hope
come
God
here
can
and
save you.
This.
Yeah. She said, for you to come here and pull this
Yeah.
She said the word?
Yeah,
okay, so she says the words. Now, this is a little bit of a different angle. When this was all happening, there were people that were shouting at these young girls.
You leave my daughter alone! Go!
Now, these two girls are 16 years old, and they're being harassed by not only the owner of the Seattle Storm, but fans of the Seattle Storm. Take the trash out. That guy is referring to those 16-year-old girls. Now, he apparently works for, I saw something, you know, you got to be careful out there, ladies and gentlemen. Libs of TikTok or one of those other handles out there gets a hold of your behavior, which is reprehensible, and you're likely to become famous. And that girl or that woman, the man who was saying that, is about to become famous and probably lose his job. So here is Riley Gaines on this. This is so outrageous. Why there's not more people speaking out against this? I wonder if ESPN has done that. Now, they did cover it. They finally covered it. Has anyone said anything on ESPN? Has anyone said anything on CNN?
Being heckled by grown men and grown women, which now to the left, that's considered progressive. It's just sad that young girls, 16-year-old girls, have to be the adults in the room.
I'm wearing my XXXY shirt right now. If you're on the camera, you can see it. I wear it proudly. I have a hat, a couple of hats that say XXXY, because I stand up for these little girls. Here's Jensei, who runs that great company, on this 5-game suspension.
Well, it's a start. That wouldn't have happened a year ago. Look at the progress we're making. I'm not saying it's enough, but it's a start. I will tell you, there was a rally outside of the arena, and our side, the pro-protection of women's sports side, outnumbered the other side 10-1. That would not have happened a year ago. These young girls, 16-year-old girls, sat in the front row, and this woman, I don't know what she was thinking, berated them with expletives to the point where they started crying, and it was because they were wearing our T-shirts. Now, this is not at all acceptable. This woman thinks it's, you know, 5 years ago, and she gets to do whatever she wants. But our side came out in force.
Thank goodness.
It was okay a year or two ago. It's not okay anymore. The IOC says it's not okay. No men in women's sports. Women's Tennis Association. We are making progress. And now the biggest star in women's basketball has also spoken up. So I don't know if it's enough, but it's something.
Yeah, it is something. It's a big deal. And Sophie's doing great here because she is not backing down. And these little girls, I saw something that Sophie said on her ex. She's going to send some gear, some signed jerseys, because they deserve it.
Those girls were nice to everyone. They sat there quietly holding a sign. They cheered for both teams. Let's be clear. They're the nice ones. And this crazy old lady was yelling at teenagers until they cried. There is room for everyone. Dress how you want, be who you want, but we're not going to further a lie. Men can't actually become women, and they can't play in women's sports. That's it. That's all we're saying. Be whoever you want.
Jen Say, absolutely a hero in all this. She's been a guest many times on the show. She was with us last week. Riley Gaines, a hero in this. These two young girls, heroic. And I said this yesterday. Look, even though there's probably only a handful of, you know, crazy lefties listening right now, the moderate lefties, the people who have any common sense, 98% of the people who would have seen that go down, if they're even told about it, because the media will protect them, they'll think it's horrific that these two little girls were brought to tears by the owner of a WNBA basketball team. By the way, an owner that has a team that sucks ass. Like, they're 6-24. They're just terrible. But they proudly go out on their social media and they stand up for trans athletes, right? And then this happens. Total embarrassment. I want to know what the fuck. All right, we're just a few days away from the primary on Tuesday. There is no excuse voting that can take place right now. So many of you have already voted. If you live in the 4th Senate District, there's no Republican in the race, so this is going to all be decided on Tuesday between State Rep. Steve Butts, who's a good friend of mine and the show and a roundtable veteran, and former State Rep. Gina Mitten. This is one of the races people are keeping an eye on. So what I'm encouraging people to do, and, you know, this is true for St. Louis County Executive, too, because Dennis Hancock is going to be the Republican nominee. You can pull a Democrat ballot and vote in this race, I would suggest, for Steve Butts. He's with us this afternoon on 97.1 FM Talk. I don't know, does that help you or hurt you that I'm telling people to vote for you?
Yeah, Mark, if you tell people to vote for me, it might hurt me a little bit. But, no, I appreciated it. It is important, you know, when you just when the real election is decided at the primary level, it's important that people know that if you live in the city or the inner burbs of the county, you have to pull a Democratic ticket. And I hope they get in the habit of pulling that Democratic ticket.
Yeah, I hope they do, too. So, you know, you and I know each other pretty well. We've become friends. But I did not know. I found this in this profile they did in the Missouri Independent. Is this true that when you were a young man, your mom made you a sign that said Steve Butts for Alderman, and it still sits in your home in Holly Hills?
Yeah, that is true. I didn't know that was in an article. So my mom loved politics. She instilled in all of us, but I was the oldest one. I always said I spent the most time with her. So she did love politics. And yeah, she did. She, I think when I turned 18 or 21, she goes, "This is a dream I have for you, and I hope someday it comes true." And it was just a little sign, you know, and I do have it to this day.
That's awesome.
So,
yeah, that's pretty cool.
It was awesome, but it really reminds me of her now.
So Gina Mitten says, if Representative Butts and I had similar voting record, I wouldn't be in this race. I would feel comfortable having myself and my daughter and my community represented by him. She says, if you voted that way, she's trying to make this about abortion, right? So on that front, you're Catholic. Do you consider yourself pro-life, pro-choice? Do you define yourself that way?
Yeah, you know, I don't like to define myself either of those ways. It is true that I think life issues are critically important for everybody, whether they're talking about abortion or capital punishment or SNAP benefits, Medicaid, whatever is the best for most people. I do know that, yeah, it's a tag she wants to put on me, but I have voted the pro-choice way. The bills that have been presented in Jeff City have been so extreme, not allowing exceptions for rape and incest and serious health complications of the mother. Just as an example, it was amendments I tried to get on 7 and 8 years ago and wasn't able to. And I remember giving one of my very first speeches on the House floor saying this lack of compromise from the more quote-unquote pro-life side is going to come back to bite hard. And it did. You saw when Amendment 3 passed. That was a lot of people that absolutely would define themselves as pro-life voted for that bill, knowing that the total abortion ban was unreasonable and unethical, in my opinion. So it's an issue. It's one that I've addressed for many, many years. And there's just that, but so much more in terms of policing and economic development and things that we have to do with education, that there is a bigger agenda. And I think people need to see it is important to not be strictly a one-issue voter, no matter what your issue is.
Well,
you
I mean,
to find compromise where you can work with people.
When you're knocking on doors, and you've been doing this for a while now, and you're probably going to have big effort here this weekend, you know, door knocking, whatever the case may be. But are people, you know, coming out of the chute on abortion? I've never, even on the Republican side, I know that's an issue that is very, very important, and I'm pro-life, and I understand that. But like, to your point, I'm not sure that's what the voters of the 4th District or anywhere in Missouri really as focused on, at least not for this election, because that's going to come up again in the fall. But it has to be economic issues and issues of public safety, right?
Yeah, I mean, that is case. So my lived experience, and of course, this is just my anecdotal experience, but I have spoken to hundreds and hundreds of people now since this campaign started. And over the 8 years I've been in Jeff City, and it is not the first thing that comes out of people's minds. It is absolutely not the first question that does. Really, this past year, cost of living, the price of gasoline, honestly, you know, got tons and tons of attention. And schools in the city, you know, which is where 60% of this district is, also is top of mind. Public safety, always top of mind. And so, yes, it is an important issue. I have not found it anecdotally to be the first issue that people discuss. Even when I take questions in town halls, it comes up half the time, and it is not the number one issue.
So what about this? Because you were one of only seven Democrats who, you know, including three others who represent St. Louis County, who broke with your party. You voted in favor of the bill that put the governing power in the hands of a state board rather than local officials, kind of taking back local control. Some of us were a fan of local control. We realized that it wasn't working, and you were one of those people that decided, you know, that it wasn't working. Are you getting pushback on it? Do you regret that vote?
I don't regret the vote. I do regret the way it has worked out. Certainly it is not, you know, I expected a bumpy start to a change like this, a new group, but it was more than bumpy and some ineptness. And I think the attorney that was representing the board was doing no one any favors. I do believe that the concept of a police board of commissioners of city residents that have to come through, you know, they're appointed by the governor, but they have to be approved and certified in the state Senate and introduced by the senator from the 4th district. That's why this is such an important race, and the 5th district. So currently Steve Roberts and Carla May. I mean, it makes this critical.
Yeah, that's important.
And I think that I'm the only city guy in this race. I think that's a big issue for city residents. We have to keep the Senate seat with the city.
All right, pull a D ballot, vote for Steve. That's my recommendation. But this may be the defining question of the moment, Steve. And it came up earlier on the show, and it's been something that has not gone my way. But do you allow, and we're not talking about hot dogs here, do you allow for ketchup on a bratwurst, Steve?
Never. That would be horrible.
God, what is going on with people? I don't understand.
Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers. And someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money. And most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show, How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator and my friend, Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Stand!
Barbecue sauce would be okay. Ketchup, completely anathema. And I'm a mustard guy And not because I'm a Cubs fan, but okay. I just think no way ketchup belongs on a brat.
It does, though. You've been to Busch Stadium. They offer ketchup and mustard. Why would they offer ketchup? Yeah, Sue will say because it's for kids.
For the five-year-olds, that's why, Mark, because the five-year-olds like ketchup on everything.
I'm pulling back my endorsement. Pulling back the endorsement. We'll see you next week. Thank you. Good luck.
See you next week.
Well, we have a big roundtable. It's the pre-primary day roundtable tomorrow with two of our A-list panelists, former state senator John Lamping and former state senator Jeff Smith will be here to analyze all the races, talk a little bit about what's happened in Washington with Dr. Fauci, the war in Iran and Ukraine. We'll cover all the topics tomorrow afternoon. In the 4 o'clock hour, of course, a Friday edition of Sue's News. We'll get Paul Hall on entertainment. Pusamano will be here on sports. By the way, I am going to, I think this might be tomorrow, I'm about to kick off a listener trip to Croatia for next spring summer. It's like the end of May. This is going to be a mind-blowingly fun trip. It's very limited. We're actually going to take this on a small, it's almost like a yacht. There's like 36 passengers total. So it's going to sell out very fast. And my friend Mike Kenny, who took me and a bunch of listeners to Spain 3 years ago and to Greece 1 year ago, he's arranging this trip, and I'm going to reveal some details. We might be able to do that as early as tomorrow. Also on the show tomorrow, we'll visit with Brian Kilmeade in the 5 o'clock hour. He'll be here. And then comedian T.J. Miller. I like T.J. quite a bit. The comedians are tough. I've told you this before. Even interviewing comedians, really tough. He's a guy that's been in a ton of movies. If you don't know his name, he was in the Deadpool movie and the sequel. He had a fun role. I think he was like the bartender in that. He was really big star in the show Silicon Valley. He had some things that kind of, I don't think it was a Me Too thing, but there were some things that came up that were negative about him, maybe on sets or whatever, but he's a great stand-up comedian. He's coming to town this weekend. He's going to visit with us in the 5 o'clock hour tomorrow, so that will be fun. I've seen his show. Actually, you know, we'll do these interviews with comedians. I don't always go to the show. I really wanted to see George Wallace a couple weekends ago, and I couldn't manage that. The last time TJ was in town, I saw his show, and I thought it was fantastic, so we'll have him in here in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll also do this tomorrow, but let's do it right now.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Look, I'm so disgusted by Anthony Fauci's behavior and the revelations in these diaries. And I just cannot believe that so many of our friends on the left don't see things the way that most of us do, which that COVID, while it did kill a lot of people, it was killing older people. It was also not killing or affecting younger people at all. And what happened in this situation is we closed the damn country down. We did it for way too long. And the media, you know, you can blame Dr. Fauci. I would blame Dr. Fauci on a lot of things. But the legacy media, of which I will play a montage of here in a supercut, they should be the ones you should be most angry about. That's why, and I even did this, I poked someone on Facebook earlier this afternoon because someone was recommending books on COVID. And I said, the only book you need to read on COVID is David Zweig's book, An Abundance of Caution, because it will offer you insight into the nonsense that went on 5 years ago and the media culpability. Some examples.
President Trump wrote on Twitter, don't be afraid of COVID. Don't let it dominate your life. Don't let it dominate your life?
In terms of responding to a comment like that, it's gross.
It's okay to be afraid of COVID, and it's okay that it's dominating your life.
Everyone should be afraid of COVID.
You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.
I can't come in, Mom. It's because of this flu thing.
We won't be free of this pandemic until we listen to the acknowledged truth. Listen to the scientists.
Science is truth.
You know, science is truth.
What is the impact to public health when people are openly questioning the science?
What? Really? Jim Acosta? What was that? Acosta or was that? That was the other guy on CNN. Really? That's where you want to go after all the revelations, after the learning loss, the mental illness, the anxiety that these kids have, not to mention the isolation. You know, something else, David Zweig wrote about this in his book, because we talked about it at the time, you know, the majority of child abuse in this country happens at home. You had kids that were being abused or kids that weren't being vaccinated and all these other things that were being overlooked because we were so afraid of COVID. We should have never feared COVID, never feared COVID. Should have taken care of ourselves, made sure we were healthy, made some good decisions. We should have not feared it.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork
But somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, mine starts here.